Okay, I'll call you later. Fine, and remember, carefree fun. She adds the last bit in a blatant reminder of my status, whatever that is. I turn back to Jessie, finding the expression I knew I would. Very unhappy. Why did you do that? I yell. He's just a friend. Do you often let friends fuck your brains out? My shoulders sag in defeat. The man's constant change in reference to our relationship is burning my brain. He fucks me. He cares for me. He controls me. Is it your mission objective to make my life as difficult as possible? His eyes soften. No, he says quietly. I'm sorry. Good God, do we have a breakthrough? Has he just apologized for being an ass? I'm more stunned now than when he hijacked my phone and greeted my mother like she was an old friend. Forget about it, I sigh, shoving my phone in my bag. I start walking down the street toward the canal, and his arm is wrapped around my shoulder within seconds. My poor mother is probably giving my poor dad an earache right at this very moment. I know I'll be hit with 20 questions later. And as for Matt, well, I know his game. He's trying to butter up the parents, the slimy little worm. He'll be sorely disappointed. My parents openly dislike him now, as opposed to putting up with him for my sake. We spend the rest of the morning and well into the afternoon wandering around Camden. I love it here. The diversity is the best London has to offer. I could lose myself for hours in the cobbled back streets of the markets and stables. Jessie humours me while I poke about in the stalls, keeping close and constantly touching me. I'm so glad I apologised. We walk through the food quarter, and I can't take the heat anymore. It's not particularly hot, but with all the tourists and crowds, I'm feeling stifled. I remove my bag from across my body, taking my cardigan off to wrap it around my waist. Ava, your dress is missing a huge chunk. I turn around on a smile, finding him gaping at the cut-out section of my dress. What's he going to do? Undress me and cut it up? No, it's the design, I inform him, tying my cardigan around my waist and replacing my bag over my body. He turns me around, pulling my cardigan further up my body in an attempt to conceal the revealed flesh. Will you stop? I laugh, wriggling free. Do you do this on purpose? He snaps, arranging his big palm in the center of my back. If you want full-length skirts and polo-neck jumpers, then I suggest you find someone your own age, I mutter as he starts guiding me through the crowds with his hand firmly in place. I earn myself a dig in the ribs for my cheek. He'll have me in a burqa next. How old do you think I am? He asks incredulously. Well, I don't know, do I? I toss back at him. Do you want to relieve me of my wondering? He scoffs. No. No, I didn't think so, I mutter, just as something catches my attention. I quickly detour to a stall full of scented candles and all things hippie, hearing Jessie curse behind me as he barges through the crowds to keep up with me. I make it to the stall, and I'm greeted by a new age type, with wild dreadlocks and plenty of piercings. Hi, I smile, reaching up to grab the cloth bag from the shelf. Afternoon, he says. Do you want some help with that? He joins me by the shelf, helping me retrieve the cloth bag. Thanks. I feel Jessie's warm palm on me again as I open the cloth bag and pull out the contents. What's that? Jessie asks, looking over my shoulder. These, I shake them out, are Thai fisherman pants. I think you need a smaller size. He frowns, running his eyes across the huge piece of black material that I'm holding up. They're one size. He laughs. Ava, you could get 10 of you in those. You wrap them around. One size fits all. I've been meaning to replace my worn ones for months. He moves to the side, keeping his hand exactly where it is, and looks at the pants dubiously. Admittedly, they do look like a pair of trousers for the world's most obese man, but once you figure them out, they're super comfy for knocking around the house on a lazy day. Here, let me show you. The stall owner takes the trousers from my grasp and kneels in front of me. I feel Jesse's palm tense on my back. We'll take them, he spits out fast. Oh, here comes a trample. You need a demo, Dredd says cheerfully, jiggling the opening of the trousers at my feet. I lift my foot to step inside the trousers, only to have myself tugged back slightly. I glance up at him, flashing a warning look. He's being ridiculous. You have great legs, miss, Dredd says happily. I cringe. Thanks. Give me those. Jesse snatches the pants from Dredd's before positioning me with my back to a shelf full of candles. Shaking his head and muttering under his breath, he kneels on one knee and opens the pants for me. I smile sweetly at Dredd's, who seems to be oblivious to Jesse's trampling performance, probably too spaced out to notice, and I step into the pants, pulling them up while Jesse holds onto the two gaping sides, his frown line deep on his forehead. God love him. I quickly take control of the wrapping for fear of Dredd's trying to intercept. Like this, see? I fold the pants over, tying them on one side. Wonderful, Jesse mocks, looking at them in confusion. His eyes find mine, and I break out in a full smile. He shakes his head, his eyes twinkling. Do you want them? I start to unfasten and remove the trousers under Jesse's watchful eye. I'm paying, I inform him. He rolls his eyes on a disgusted snort, taking a wad of notes from his pocket. How much for the oversized trousers? He asks Dredd's. Just a tenner, my friend. I fold them up, shoving them in the bag. I'm paying for the trousers, Jesse. Is that it? Jesse shrugs as he shoves a note at Dredd's. Cheers! Dredd's thrusts it in his bum bag. Come on. You didn't have to trample the poor man, I moan. And I wanted to pay for the pants. He pulls me into his side, pressing his lips into my temple. Shut up. You're impossible. You're beautiful. Can I take you home now? I shake my head at my challenging man. Yes, my feet are aching, and I have to commend him on his tolerance of my leisurely meander today. He's been pretty reasonable. I let him lead me through the crowds until we emerge from the packed alley where the sound of booming, heavy techno music assaults my ears. I look over, seeing neon lights creeping from the darkness of the factory building and crowds of people gathering at the entrance. I've never been in the place, but it's famed for its off-the-wall clubware and wild accessories. You want to see? I look up at Jesse and find he's followed my gaze to the entrance of the factory. I thought you wanted to go home. We can have a quick look. He redirects us to the entrance, leading me into the dimly lit space. The music pounds my eardrums as we enter, and the first thing I notice is two club dancers, kitted out in high-visibility underwear, performing some pretty jaw-dropping moves on a metal-suspended balcony. I can't help but stare. You would think we were in a nightclub in the early hours. Jesse directs me to an escalator that takes us down to the bowels of the factory, and as we reach the bottom, my eyes are assaulted, attacked by fluorescent clothing in every color and description. It's not lace, is it? He muses, catching me gawking at a bright yellow miniskirt with metal spikes protruding from the hemline. Lace it's not, I agree. Do people wear this stuff? He laughs, nodding at a group of people who look like they might pass out with excitement. They must have a million piercings between them. I'm completely engrossed by my surroundings as we wander around the metal maze of steel corridors and down some more stairs, finding ourselves closed in on every angle by sex toys. I cringe. The music is louder and absolutely vulgar, and I gape as I listen to some demented woman screaming about sucking cock on the dance floor, while a leather-clad dominatrix type grinds her crutch up and down a black metal pole. I'm not a prude, but this is way past my comprehension. Okay, we're in the adults department, and I'm feeling extremely uncomfortable. I look up nervously to Jesse. His eyes are twinkling, his expression displaying an abundance of amusement. Shocked? He asks. Ish, I admit. It's not so much the merchandise. It's the pierced, tattooed, virtually naked bird in the corner, wearing 8-inch platforms and performing some highly illicit moves. That's what's got me scooping my tongue up from the floor. Does Jesse go for all this stuff? It's a bit over the top, isn't it? He muses, pulling me over to a glass cabinet. I exhale a sigh of relief at his statement. Wow! I blurt, coming face to face with a huge Diamante-embellished vibrator. Don't get excited, Jesse whispers in my ear. You don't need one of those. I gasp, and he laughs lightly in my ear. I don't know. It looks like it could be fun, I respond thoughtfully. It's him that lets out a shocked gasp this time. Ava, I'll die before you use one of those. He flashes the offending object a disgusted look. I'm not sharing you with anyone or anything, even battery-operated devices. I laugh. He would trample a vibrator? His unreasonableness is off the scales. He looks down at me, giving me his roguish grin. I might stretch to some handcuffs, though, he adds quietly. This doesn't turn you on, does it? I gesture around the room before tilting my head up to him. He looks at me with warm eyes, pulling me closer into his side to drop a tender kiss on my forehead. There's only one thing in this world that turns me on, and I love her in lace. I melt with relief and turn my eyes up to the man I love so much it hurts. Take me home. He gives me a half smile, landing a worshipful kiss on my lips. Are you making demands? He asks against my lips. Yes. You've not been inside me for too long. It's not acceptable. He pulls back and watches me carefully, cogs flying, teeth chomping. You're right. It's not acceptable. He resumes chomp and refocuses his attention ahead of us, leading me out of the dungeon and back to his car. Chapter 29. We burst through the door of the penthouse in a tangled embrace. I've waited all day for this. I'm about to explode with lust. I need him all over me right now. He grabs me around my waist, so I straddle his hips, and he walks us into the kitchen, flicking a few buttons on the remote control. My ears are instantly flooded with placebos running up that hill. This only serves to spike my desperation for him more. He's a man of his word. I want you in bed, he says urgently, as he takes the stairs at an alarming rate. The door to the master suite is kicked open, and I'm placed on my feet at the end of the bed. Turn around, he says softly. I oblige, giving him access to the back of my dress. Please tell me you have lace on, he pleads, unbuttoning my dress. I need you in lace. I hear him exhale a long, satisfied breath as he pulls my dress over my head and lets it fall to the floor. I kick my shoes off and turn back around to face him, finding a lax mouth and hooded eyes. He's as desperate as I am. He reaches forward, slowly pulling down a lace cup on my bra, brushing his knuckles over my nipple. My heart starts a relentless sprint in my chest. He's in gentle mode. I love gentle Jesse. I watch him reach over his back and grasp his t-shirt, pulling it forward over his head. His leanness will never cease to have me panting. There's not a scrap of fat on him. "Have you had a nice day?" he asks softly, but he doesn't touch me. He just stands in front of me, removing his shoes and socks while I'm mentally begging for him to hurry up. "I've had a lovely day," I say, trying my hardest to ignore the passionate beats of the music surrounding us. "Me too." He's all serious and pensive. I don't know what to make of it. "Shall we make it even better?" "Oh, God." "Yes," I breathe. "Come here." There will be no countdown necessary this time. I step forward, placing my hands on his solid chest, and tip my face up to meet his stare. We spend a few silent moments gazing at each other before his lips fall to mine, instantly catapulting me to Central Jesse Cloud 9, my most favorite place in the universe. I moan, moving my hands up in his hair to hold onto him, as he lifts me and secures me against his body, our tongues lapping and circling slowly. He takes me to the bed, laying me beneath him, and places my hands above my head. He doesn't hold them there, although I know that's where they've got to stay. He releases my mouth and sits up, leaving me hot, dazed, and panting short, sharp breaths as he looks down at me, the cogs going into overdrive in that beautiful mind of his. I want to know what he's thinking. He's been slipping in and out of thoughtfulness for days now. "I could sit and watch you writhe under my touch all day," he murmurs as he plays with my breast, yanking down the other cup and lavishing that breast with equal attention. My nipples twinge, being pulled and elongated by his fingers as he watches himself work me into a crazy wreck, his lips parted and moist. I want them on me now. "Stay where you are." He gets up from the bed, pulling my knickers off as he goes, and I whimper slightly at the loss of his weight from me. I watch him slowly unbutton the fly on his jeans and drag them down his thighs, kicking them off calmly before drawing his boxer shorts down his legs. I clench my thighs together to control the dull pulse at my core that's just advanced into a steady throb at the sight of him, bared naked and stunningly spectacular in front of me. Crawling back on the bed, he parts my thighs and runs his tongue straight up the center of my sex. "Oh, God, God, God." I cover my face with my palms, sinking my teeth into my own hand as he plunges his tongue into me, withdrawing and circling slowly before dipping back in. I might pass out. My hips rotate in time to his tempo, seeking further friction, his palm spanning my stomach to keep me from bucking under him. Why did I ever run? Of all the stupid things I could do, running away from this man would get the gold. He lifts his mouth and blows a cold stream of air across my flesh before returning to his inexorable pattern of torturous pleasure. When my head starts thrashing and I make a grab for his hair, he increases the power, and I detonate around him, pushing my hips up on reflex and shouting out on a rush of desperate breath. He closes his mouth around my core, literally sucking the pulses out of me as I shake like a leaf and my back arches to breaking point. Jesse moans. I can feel you throbbing against my tongue, baby. I can't even talk. The influence he has over my body is extraordinary. I don't think I'm weak. I think he's too powerful. He definitely holds the power. My overworked heart starts to steady its beat as I weave my fingers through his hair, relishing in his attentive mouth, dropping tender kisses down the insides of my thighs, nibbling and sucking as he goes. We're in tender lover mode, but for how long could be anyone's guess. I'm not going to try and kid myself that I've heard the last of my contraventions from last night, but I'm quite content to lay here with Jesse nuzzling between my legs for as long as he'll allow. His teeth clamp lightly onto my clitoris, and I shudder, hearing him laugh lightly as he kisses his way up my body until he finds my lips, sharing my release with me, brushing his soft mouth over mine as he gazes down at me. My arms find his shoulders and accept his weight as he buries his face in my neck and sighs, his raging arousal thumping lightly against my thigh. I shift my hips so it falls to my opening. You make me so crazy mad, lady. He breathes into my neck, lifting himself and slowly driving into me on a stifled moan. I whimper, gripping every muscle around him. Please don't do that again. He reaches down and snakes his arm under my knee, pulling it up to drape my leg over his shoulder before bracing his upper body on his forearms. Slowly, he withdraws and lazily works his way in again, his eyes fixed on me. I'm sorry, I murmur, circling my hands in his hair. He pulls back, driving forward on a groan. Ava, everything I do to keep you safe and to keep my sanity. Please listen to me. I whimper on another deep, delightful plunge. I will, I confirm, but I'm aware that I'm raging with pleasure, and once again, he can make me say anything he wants. I don't need keeping safe, except, perhaps, from him. I need you. He looks despondent, throwing me off completely. I really need you, baby. I'm mindless on pleasure, totally swallowed up by him. But he can't keep saying things like that, at least not without elaborating. He's making my brain a knotted mess of coded statements. Is he getting confused with needing and wanting? I'm past the wanting stage, and only mildly afraid that I've let myself fall into the realms of really needing this man. Why do you need me? My voice is broken and husky. I just do. Please, don't ever leave me. He plunges forward again, enticing a collective moan. Tell me, I all but groan, clenching at his shoulders, but ensuring I keep my eyes fixed on his. I need more than his confounding brain teasers. These shallow waters are becoming muddy as well. Just accept that I need you, and kiss me. I look up at him, torn by my body's need for him and my brain's need for information. He's leisurely working his way in and out of me at the most dreamy pace, gradually encouraging another build-up of pressure to begin. I can't control it. Ava, kiss me. My body wins. I pull his face down to mine, worshipping his wonderful mouth as he sinks in and out, rolling his narrow hips each time. The mechanical tense of my body sets in as my pleasure peaks, and I start to wobble on the edge of release, short, sharp breaths escaping as I try and rein in my impending climax. Not yet, baby, he warns softly, grinding hard on another dry forward. How does he know? I concentrate hard, But with this music and Chessie working my mouth so delicately, I'm really struggling. I claw my fingers into his shoulders, a wordless signal that I'm tipping the edge, and he moans, biting my lip and jerking forward. "Together," he mumbles against my mouth. I nod my acceptance as he increases his strokes and carries us both closer to ultimate ecstasy, all the time maintaining his controlled, accurate drives. "Nearly there, baby. Chessie, hold on, just hold on," he says calmly, plunging forward again, executing a painfully deep, delicious rotation of his hips, pushing himself forward as far as he can. We both cry out, "Now, Ava." He withdraws, driving forward again harder. I let it go, feeling him throb and jerk inside me as we swallow each other's moans and both roll over, descending into a calm, unhurried fall into nothing. My flesh trembles around his beating cock, and my heart is hammering in my chest. I kiss him adoringly as he relaxes on me, holding my leg over his shoulder and pushing his body further into me, releasing everything he has, moaning in pure, raw pleasure. The unwelcome invasion of moisture creeps into my eyes, and I fight real hard to prevent the tears from falling and ruining the moment as he continues to accept my reverent kiss, meeting my slow, sweeping tongue stroke for stroke. I'm trying to tell him something with this kiss. I'm desperate for him to recognize it. "I love you." He pulls back, breaking our kiss, and frowns at me. "What's the matter?" he asks softly, his voice full of concern. "Nothing," I reply too quickly, mentally cursing my wretched hand for shifting on the back of his head. He searches my eyes, and I relent on a sigh. "What is this?" I ask as he moves slowly inside me.
"What's what?"
The confusion in his voice is quite clear. I kick myself for opening my big mouth.
"I mean me and you."
I feel stupid all of a sudden, wanting to retreat under the covers. His eyes soften, and he swivels his hips slowly.
"This is just you and me,"
he says simply. Like it really is that simple. He kisses me gently, releasing my leg.
"Are you okay?"
"Fine," I reply more harshly than I intended. Is this man so thick-skinned he can't see a woman in love when she's lying underneath him?
"You and me and you, that much is bloody obvious. I don't see anyone else in bed with us."
I wriggle a little underneath him, and he narrows his sludgy eyes on me. "I need a wee," I say, in my most convincing, I'm not pissed tone. I fail miserably. He latches onto his bottom lip, eyeing me suspiciously, but he pulls out, reluctantly freeing me from beneath him. I reach around to unclasp my bra before I make my way to the bathroom, shutting the door behind me.
Why can't I just say it?
I need to rid my mouth of the words that are causing me so much bloody agony. He must know how I feel. I drop to the feet of this man like a slave, giving my mind and body up to him at the drop of a hat. I don't believe, not for a moment, that he doesn't recognize all these signs. I brace my hands on the vanity unit, letting out a long sigh. This is not where I plan to be, but I'm here, skirting precariously close to a broken heart. The thought of my life without him in it. I reach up and rub my chest. The very thought has my heart constricting in pain. I jump when the door opens and he strolls in, all naked and stunningly glorious. He positions himself behind me, resting his hands on my waist, his chin on my shoulder. Our eyes locked together for the longest time.
I thought we made friends, he questions on a slight pucker of his beautiful brow.
We did,
I shrug. I had expected far more retribution than what I just received. Yes, he shredded the taboo dress, but all things considered, he's been quite reasonable today. Then why are you sulking?
I am not sulking, I say, oversensitive.
It's bloody obvious that I am.
He shakes his head on a long, tired sigh and circles his hips against my lower back. He's hard again. He's going to distract me from my sulks with his unreasonable sexual manipulation.
Ava, you're the most frustrating woman I've ever met.
My eyes widen at his cheek. He thinks I'm frustrating. His mouth clamps onto my neck, penetrating me with heat.
Are you holding out on me for a reason, lady?
No, I breathe. I never hold out on him. I give myself up to him, unreservedly and willing, every time. A little gentle persuasion is sometimes required, but he gets what he wants in the end. He reaches down and slowly starts rubbing his palm up and down between my thighs. It's the perfect amount of friction at the perfect tempo. I hold his eyes in the mirror. Fucking hell, I'm gagging for him again. I drop my head back, giving him perfect access to my neck, his tongue working a firm, heavy trail up the column of my throat, circling at the sensitive hollow under my ear.
You want it again?
He teases in my ear as he works my core.
I need you. Baby, those words make me so happy. Always?
Always, I confirm. He growls his approval.
Fuck, I need to be inside you.
He yanks my hips forward and positions himself at my entrance before hammering into me on an ear-piercing yell that echoes around the vast bathroom. Oh shit, Jesse. I support myself on the vanity unit, bracing myself for the onslaught. He crashes forward.
Watch your mouth.
I'm subjected to a relentless, desperate round of punishing blows as he yells like a man possessed, yanking me back, impaling me to the most excruciating depths. My head is spinning, my body abused, and I'm out of my mind on the most intense, painful, and pleasurable drug that is Mr. Challenging himself. I drop my limp head, and his hands move to my shoulders.
Look at me, he yells, pounding me with a purposeful blow at his demand.
I draw in a sharp breath, drag my heavy head up, and find him in the mirror, but it's hard to focus. I'm being thundered forward, my arms struggling to hold me as he slaps against my backside on continuous groans. His frown line is so deep, his neck muscles strained. The demanding, brutal sex lord has returned.
You'll never hold out on me, will you, Ava?
He barks through labored grunts.
No, because you're never leaving me, are you?
Oh, here we go again. All the coded sex talk scrambles my brain more than the formidable assault my body is under. Where the fuck am I going? I scream in frustration on another merciless blow.
Mouth! He roars urgently. Say it, Ava!
Oh, God! I cry. My knees buckle and his hands move quickly to my waist, capturing me, and my world goes completely silent as I ride out the vibration of waves that pistoned through me so harshly. I think my heart might have ceased from shock.
Jesus!
He falls to the floor, rolling onto his back so I'm laying across him, my back to his front, his arms sprawled out at his sides. I'm being heaved up and down on top of him, My mind is a foggy, churned-up mess, and my poor body is wondering what the hell just happened. That was a sense fuck if ever there was one. But for what purpose? I snap my mouth shut before I earn myself another scorn. But he still lifts an arm and finds my hip to have a little dig. Hey, I complain. I suppressed the urge. It's an improvement. He engulfs me in his arms and inhales into my neck. You didn't say it. What? That I won't leave you? I won't leave you. Happy? Yes, I am, but that's not what I meant. What did you mean? He exhales deeply into my ear. Never mind. Want to go again? I splutter on a labored breath. I know I won't be able to say no. For a start, he won't let me. I feel the slight jerk of a hushed chuckle under me. Absolutely. I can't get enough of you. I keep my voice steady and serious. He freezes under me, but then increases his vice-like hold. I'm glad. I feel exactly the same. But my heart has been through enough in the last 24 hours, what with your defiance and lack of obedience. I don't know how much more it can take. It must be your age. Hey, lady. He rolls us over so I'm face down on the bathroom floor, and he's blanketing me. He bites my ear, blowing hot breath into it. My age has nothing to do with it. He chomps at my lobe a bit more as I writhe under him. It's you, he says accusingly, grabbing my hip. No, I scream, making a futile attempt to free myself. Okay, I give in. I wish you fucking would, he grumbles, releasing me. Old man, I mutter on a grin. I'm pulled to my feet in lightning speed and pushed up the wall, my arms pinned above my head. I purse my lips to suppress my laugh. I prefer God, he notifies me, hitting me with a heart-stopping kiss, thrusting his body against mine, and pushing me up the wall. I really can't get enough of you, lady. I smile. You're my ultimate temptress. He sweeps over my face with his lips, and I sigh against him. Are you hungry? He asks. Yes. I'm famished, actually. Good. He matches my smile. I've fucked you, and now I'm going to feed you. He tucks me under his arm and walks us into the bedroom. Put lace on, he says softly, making his way into the wardrobe and appearing a few minutes later in some green striped lounge pants. I smile. I love him in sludgy green. I'll meet you in the kitchen. Deal? Deal, I confirm quietly. He winks before striding out of the bedroom, leaving me to find my lace. I look around the room for any signs of my bags, seeing nothing. So I wander into the wardrobe, but only find my dresses and shoes. He said a few days. There's more than a few days' worth of clothes in here, all hanging neatly in their own little space. I smile at the thought of Jesse making a little gap for me in his vast wardrobe. With my towel still wrapped around me, I make my way downstairs to the kitchen, finding Jesse with his head in the fridge. I can't find my stuff, I inform the fridge door. His head pops up from behind the fridge, his eyes running up and down my towel-clad body. I'll take naked, he says, shutting the door and sauntering over to me with a jar of peanut butter. Kathy's off and the fridge is empty. I'll order in. What do you fancy? You, I grin. He smiles, reaches forward, and whips the towel off, throwing it to the side and running his appreciative gaze down my naked body. Your god needs to feed his temptress. He flashes his dancing eyes to mine. The rest of your stuff is in that dirty great big wooden trunk that you had dumped in my bedroom. What do you want to eat? I ignore him and shrug. I could eat anything. I'm easy. I know, but what do you want to eat? I'm only easy with you. You fucking better be. Now tell me, what do you want to eat? I like anything. You choose. What time is it anyway? I've lost all concept of time. In fact, I lose all concept of everything when I'm with him. 7. Go and take a shower before I abandon dinner and take you again. He turns me around, smacking my backside to send me on my way. I take my naked body back up the stairs to fulfill his instructions, and when I reach the top, I glance down and see Jesse standing by the archway to the kitchen, quietly watching me. I blow him a kiss as I disappear into the bedroom, just catching a glimpse of his knee-trembling smile as he vanishes from view. I was just coming to find you. He pauses from forking various dishes onto 2 plates. I like your shirt. I look down at the white shirt I snatched from his wardrobe. Kate didn't pack me any slobby clothes. She didn't? He raises an eyebrow, and I know instantly Kate did pack me some slobby clothes. That, or she didn't pack at all. I suspect it's the latter. Where do you want to eat? I snap my mouth shut on a shrug. Only for me. Yes. He grins, shoving a bottle of water under his arm and picking up the plates. We'll slum it on the sofa. He leads me into the colossal open space and nods at the gigantic sofa. So I sit in the corner section, accepting the plate he hands me. It smells delicious, and it's Chinese. Perfect. The doors on the massive television cabinet start sliding across, revealing the biggest, frameless, flat-screen TV I've ever laid my eyes on. Do you want to watch television, or would you prefer music and conversation? He looks at me on a small smile as my fork hangs out of my mouth. I didn't realize how hungry I was. I chew and swallow as soon as I can. I'll take music and conversation, please. That was an easy choice. He nods, like he knew that would be my answer. And the next thing I know, the room is swamped in the calming tones of Mumford and Sons. Good. I glance over and find him facing me, one knee up and his arm resting on the back of the sofa, holding his plate. Very. You don't cook? I don't. I smile around my fork. Why, Mr. Ward, is that something you don't do well? I can't be amazing at everything, he says, completely straight-faced, studying me closely. He really is an overconfident ass. Your housekeeper cooks for you? If I ask her to. But most of the time I eat at the manor. I suppose it makes sense that he'd take advantage of the lovely food at his disposal. I know I would. How old are you? He pauses with his fork midway to his mouth. 30-ish. He takes his fork full of food, watching me as he chews. Ish, I mouth. Yes, ish, he counters, a smile playing on the corners of his lips. I return to my food, not in the least bit bothered by his vague answer. I'll keep asking, and he'll keep evading. Maybe I should try with my own versions of persuasion. Maybe a truth fuck, or a countdown. What would I do to him on 0? I drift into musing over exactly what I could do on 0 between mouthfuls of my Chinese dinner. I can think of plenty, but nothing I could carry out with ease. He'd overpower me very easily. The countdown is off the menu, so it's a truth fuck then.
I need to invent the truth, fuck. What could I do?
Ava? I look up, finding Jesse and his frown line studying me.
Yes?
Dreaming? He asks, his voice laced with concern.
Sorry. I put my fork down. I was miles away.
You were. He takes my plate and slides it onto the coffee table. Where were you? He reaches over to pull me into his lap. I snuggle happily.
Nowhere.
He shifts up the sofa, taking my place in the corner, and positions me under his arm. I rest my cheek on his bare chest, throw my leg over his groin, and inhale him in his entire fresh water splendor, letting the soft music and the feel of Jesse ease me into a peaceful rest.
I love having you here, he says quietly, playing with a lock of my hair. I really love being here too, but not as a puppet.
Would it always be like this?
I could do exactly this, day in, day out. It's been a lovely day.
But could I live with a controlling, unreasonable side of him? I run my finger along the line of his scar.
I love being here too, I whisper.
Good. So you'll stay?
Yes. Tell me how you got this.
He reaches down, clasping my hand to prevent any further touching of the area.
Ava, I really don't like talking about it.
Oh?
I'm sorry.
I feel bad. That was a plea. Something terrible happened to him, and it makes me feel sick to know that he was hurt in some way. He pulls my hand up to his face and kisses my palm.
Please, don't be. It's not something that's important to the here and now. Dragging up my past serves no purpose other than to remind me of it.
His past? So he has a past?
Well, everyone has a past, but the way he said it, and the fact that we're talking about a vicious scar here makes me really nervous.
I look up at him.
What did you mean when you said that things are easier to bear when I'm here?
He looks down and places his hand on the back of my head, pushing my cheek back down to his chest.
It means I like having you around.
His tone is dismissive. I don't believe him for a minute, but I leave it anyway.
Does it matter?
I push my lips into the void between his pecs, nuzzling into him, while giving myself a mental ticking off. I'm basking in the sun on Central Jesse Cloud 9, and I'm loving every minute of it, until the need for another countdown or a sense fuck.
And it will come, I have no doubt.
Chapter 30. I wake abruptly and sit up in bed. I feel refreshed, revitalized, and rested. The only thing that's missing is Jesse. I peek under the covers, finding I'm still in my underwear, but the shirt has been removed. I don't remember coming to bed. I sit quietly for a few moments, listening to a constant whirring sound, accompanied by a consistent thud, thud, thud in the distance. What is that? I make the long journey to the edge of the bed and out onto the landing, where the sounds are slightly louder but still muffled. Scanning the space below, I see no sign of Jesse. So, deciding he must be in the kitchen, I make my way down the stairs. As I approach the archway into the kitchen, I stop and backtrack, looking through the glass door to the gym, set on an angle just before the kitchen. Jesse is there, in a pair of running shorts, going hell for leather on the treadmill. I watch him running with his back to me, his solid expanse of skin shimmering with sweat beads as he watches the sports news on the suspended TV in front of him. I leave him be. I've already disturbed one run, So I make my way into the kitchen to fill the kettle and go about making myself a coffee. The familiar sound of my phone's ringtone fills the room, and I look across the kitchen to see it charging on the worktop. I scoop it up and disconnect it from the charger. It's my mother, and I'm promptly reminded of her call to me yesterday, the one that I've not yet returned, and really, really don't want to. My wide-awake good mood is instantly drowned out. "Hi, Mum," I greet cheerfully, screwing my face up in apprehension. "Here come the 20 questions."
"Oh, you're alive. Joseph, cancel the search party. I found her."
I roll my eyes at my mum's idea of funny. "Point taken. What did Matt want?"
"I've no idea. The man never called us once when you were together. He asked how we were, made small talk, you know. Why is he calling us, Ava?"
"I don't know, Mum," I moan tiredly.
"He mentioned another man."
"He did?" My tone is high-pitched, a complete giveaway to my surprise, and probably my guilt, too.
"Damn you, Jesse Ward, for intercepting my phone.
It would have been easier to brush off Matt's tails if I didn't have to explain about the mystery man who answered my phone yesterday."
"Yes, he said you were seeing someone else. So soon, Ava."
"Really?" "Mum, I'm not seeing someone else." I do a quick check over my shoulder to make sure I'm still alone. I'm doing more than seeing someone. I'm in love with someone.
"Who was that man who answered your phone?"
"I told you, just a friend."
"Good. You're in your mid-twenties, in London town, and fresh out of a shitty relationship. Don't be falling into the arms of the first man who shows you a bit of attention."
I blush scarlet on the spot, even though she can't see me. I don't think you could describe what this man gives me as a bit of attention. At only 47 herself, and having had Dan at just 18 and me at 21, she missed out on all the benefits of being young in London. I know she won't be pleased if she finds out I'm being swallowed up in lust.
"I won't, Mum. I'm just having lots of fun," I assure her.
"I'm having fun, all right. Just not the sort of fun that she has in mind."
"How's Dad?"
"Oh, you know, golf mad, badminton mad, cricket mad. He has to keep on the go, or he'll go mad." "It's better than sitting on his backside all day, though," I say, collecting a mug from the cupboard and making my way to the fridge. "He made such a fuss about leaving the city, but I knew he would be dead in a few years if I didn't get him out. Now I can't tie him down for anything. He's always got something happening." I open the fridge. No milk.
"That's good, isn't it? Keeping him active?"
I sit myself on the bar stool without my needed coffee.
"Oh, I'm not complaining. He's lost a few pounds, too."
"How much?" "This is good. Everyone always said that Dad was a walking heart attack candidate. With his weight, love of a few too many pints, and a stressful job. As it turns out, everyone was right."
"Just over a stone."
"Wow, I'm impressed." "No more than me, Ava. So, what have you got to report?"
"Loads."
"Nothing much. I've been stacked out at work. I've secured the next project from the developer of Luso. I need to talk work. I'll have no hair left if she starts prying into my social life."
"Brilliant. I was showing Sue the photos on the internet. The penthouse," she sings.
"Yeah. Forget coffee. I need some wine."
"Can you imagine living in such luxury? Your dad and I are not short of a few, but that's a whole other level of wealth."
"It is," I agree. Okay, the subject of work hasn't gone as I planned.
"What time does Dan land tomorrow?"
I blurt to divert the conversation.
9 in the morning. Are you coming down with him?
I flop forward onto the worktop. I've hardly given Dan's impending arrival a second thought, what with all the crazy shit going on.
I don't think so, Mum. I'm just so busy, I whine, mentally pleading for her to understand.
That's disappointing, but I understand. Maybe Dad and I can come up to see you when you've sorted a place of your own.
She's hinting that I need to pull my finger out. I've done nothing in that area of my life.
That would be really good.
I don't fake my enthusiasm. I would love for Mum and Dad to come back to London for a visit.
Wonderful. I'll speak to your dad. I better go. Send my love to Kate.
I will. I'll ring next week when Dan's there, I add quickly before she hangs up.
Lovely. Take care, darling.
Bye, Mum. I slide my phone across the counter and drop my head in my hands. If only she knew. My dad would probably have another heart attack if he found out about my current state of affairs, and my mum would be moving me down to Newquay. The only reason my dad didn't drive up after Matt and I split up was because Mum called Kate to find out if I really was okay. What would they think if they knew I was caught up with a neurotic, self-assured control freak who is, in his own words, fucking me into oblivion? The fact that he's super wealthy and owns the penthouse would not soften the blow. Christ, Jessie is probably closer to my mum in age than I am. I swing around on my stool when I hear a commotion coming from outside the kitchen. Getting up to go and investigate, I'm nearly taken off my feet when Jessie's naked chest comes flying at me.
Whoa!
Fucking hell, there you are. He grabs me, lifting me up to his sweat-riddled body. You weren't in bed.
I'm in the kitchen, I splutter in my dazed state.
He's squeezing me so tight, I'm struggling to breathe. I saw you running. I didn't want to disturb you. I wriggle a little to indicate that I'm being constricted to death, and he releases me, setting me back on my feet, his glistening, stubbled face giving me the once-over. His panicked features ease a bit as he holds me steady by my forearms in front of him.
I was just in the kitchen, I repeat.
He looks like he could keel over at any moment.
What's wrong with him?
He shakes his head slightly, as if ridding himself of a nasty thought, picks me up and walks me to the worktop, sitting me on the cold marble. He pushes his way between my thighs.
Sleep well?
Great. Why does he look like someone's broken some really crappy news? Are you okay? He blesses me with a heart-stopping smile. I feel instantly at ease.
I woke up with you in my bed wearing lace. It's 10:30 on a Sunday morning, and you're in my kitchen.
He runs his eyes down my front.
Wearing lace. I'm amazing.
You are?
Oh, I am.
He tips my face up, planting a light kiss on my lips.
Oh, I could wake up to this every morning. You're too beautiful, lady.
So are you.
He brushes the hair away from my face, looking at me affectionately.
Kiss me.
I fulfill his request immediately, taking his lips calmly and following the slow, gentle strokes of his tongue. We both hum in harmony, but our intimate moment is broken by the loud shrill of Jessie's phone. He grumbles and reaches past me, still maintaining our kiss, and glances up at the screen as he holds it over my head.
Oh, go away, he gripes against my lips. Baby, I've got to take this.
He pulls away and answers, keeping himself firmly between my thighs, his free hand around my waist.
What's up, John?
He starts chewing his lip.
What's he doing there?
He asks, dropping a chaste kiss on my lips.
No, I'll be there. Yes. See you in a bit.
He hangs up and studies me thoughtfully for a few seconds.
I need to go to the manor. You'll come.
I recoil. No, I blurt,
I'm not being yanked off Central Jesse Cloud 9 by her. He frowns.
But I want you to come.
Absolutely not. It's Sunday, I'm not working, and I'm not going to the manor.
You'll be working.
I search my brain for a feasible excuse for me not to go.
You do what you need to do, and I'll see you afterward,
I reason instead. No, you'll come, he presses forcefully.
I'm not coming. I try to wriggle myself free of his grasp, but I'm going nowhere.
Why?
Just because, I snap, earning myself a mighty scowl. I'm not about to start whining about Sarah and offloading trivial jealousies on him. He searches my eyes.
Please, Ava, will you just do what you're told?
No, I shout. I watch as he closes his eyes, clearly trying to gather some patience, but I don't care. He can force me to do many things, but I'm not going to the manor. I sit on the worktop waiting for him to disintegrate under my disobedience.
Ava, why do you insist on making things more difficult?
I make things more difficult, I gape at him. It's him who needs some sense fucking into him.
Yes, you do. I'm trying really hard here.
Trying hard to do what? Send me crazy? It's working. I beat him away from me and storm out of the kitchen, hearing him curse as he follows me up the stairs.
Okay, he yells from behind. You will wait here. I'll be as quick as I can.
I'll go home, I shout over my shoulder, continuing on my way and shutting myself in the bathroom when I get there. I'm not waiting around for him to come back. His being reasonable and relenting to my refusal to go with him has just been trampled by the follow-up of,
You will wait here.
I will do no such thing. I splash my face with cold water to try and cool down my raging temper. Why has he not given me the countdown? That's what he usually does when I don't conform. I hear him in the bedroom on his phone, and wondering who he's talking to, I open the door.
See you in a while.
He hangs up, throwing his phone on the bed. Who is he seeing in a while? He stands with his back to me for a long time, his head dropped. He's thinking, and I feel like an imposter all of a sudden. Eventually, he exhales heavily and turns toward me. He watches me for a short time before heading into the bathroom to take a shower, leaving me standing in the middle of the room wondering what to do. He's acting strange. No countdown, no manhandling. What's going on? Yesterday was so perfect, and now I'm back to mind meltdown. It looks like I didn't need Sarah to yank me off Central Jesse Cloud 9 after all. I've managed to do that all by myself. 10 minutes later, I'm still standing, twiddling my thumbs, trying to work out what to do with myself. I hear the shower shut off, and he comes out of the bathroom, heading straight into the wardrobe without a word. I'm troubled by his defeated expression that also harbors a bit of sorrow. I think I actually want him to explode or give me the countdown. I have no idea what he's thinking, and it's the most frustrating feeling in the world. He appears at the wardrobe door.
I need to go, he utters regretfully.
He looks completely tormented.
Kate's on her way over.
I frown. Why?
So you don't leave.
He goes back into the wardrobe, me following swiftly behind. Pulling some jeans on, he looks up at me briefly but gives nothing away. He grabs a black t-shirt from a hanger, pulling it over his head quickly, before he sets about getting his Converse on. I'm going home, I assert, but he still doesn't look at me. What's wrong with him? I can feel my temper flaring at his lack of receptiveness, and not knowing what else to do, I start pulling down my clothes from the hangers, draping them over my arms as I do.
What are you doing? He takes them from my hands, hanging